We do not rule, but we may guide the men that do. Gently, away from violence and sure destruction, and instead toward peace.
It's in the name of peace that you've imprisoned me. And what of my dragon?
If we are overmatched, Rhaenyra will be tempted to strike us, and war will ensue. Without your dragon, she may be persuaded to negotiate. If it's Driftmark you want, you shall have it. For you and your granddaughters to pass on as you see fit.
You are wiser than I believed you to be. Alicent Hightower.
A true queen counts the cost to her people.
And yet you toil still in service to men. Your father, your husband, your son. You desire not to be free, but to make a window in the wall of your prison. Have you never imagined yourself on the Iron Throne?
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The House of the Dragon with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The House of the Dragon on HBO, so sit back, relax, and let's talk about fire and blood. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and man, I am shocked at the amount of foot fetish in this episode.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's just so timely because this week I got yet another direct message asking me for foot photos.
Really?
This one was from a foot fetish man in Connecticut.
Really?
Yep.
How often are you being bombarded by foot fetish videos?
Like once every other year. And what's funny is like, I don't show my feet. I'm not like a hang out on the beach, show my feet in the sand or in a pool kind of person. I'm not that kind of person on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm just me, guys. Just tall, freckled Mary from Rhode Island. And yet, yes, foot fetish people are real. They're out there. And I've had this since I graduated from college.
That is pretty wild.
Really is. I would love to know, any listeners, have you ever had somebody reach out to you asking you for photos of your feet? Like, that's what's wild, too. Photos of my feet. How would you know I wouldn't just Google somebody else's feet and send them to you?
Right. Well, they must be connoisseurs of the foot practice. They must be able to tell.
I blocked that sucker.
I wonder if we should start, like, a side business of just selling photos of your feet.
How about your feet, okay?
That's fine. I'll do it if it means we bring in the bucks.
No. This coming from the man that when I found out I was an overproducer when we had our first child, this coming from the man who said, hey, you make enough milk, maybe we could sell it.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Oh my gosh. I feel like one of those children in the pits right now.
At least I'm not shaving your teeth to a point.
True. Just selling my soul with my feet. Anyway, remember, friends, you can find us on all sorts of social media outlets. All you got to do is search Mary and Blake. Of course, this show is going to be coming to an end soon for the season, and we do not want to leave you. This is not the end of your relationship with Mary and Blake for a little while, my friends. So please make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and or YouTube. There you'll find all of the projects that we're doing. You can also head to our Facebook group where you can chat with fellow nerds or go to maryandblake.com. And remember, this episode is brought to you by minutewithmary.com. If you have not yet visited there, I would love to be your makeup or your skincare girl. You can search that hashtag Minute with Mary. Send me a message. And if you are someone who does not utilize makeup or skincare, but there is a special someone in your life who does, mm-hmm. I want you to go to minutewithmary.com/discount and you can get them my best-selling mascara for a holiday gift. You got to shop now, okay?
Yes, get it done now.
Get your shopping done now. And I'm telling you, if this person in your life likes mascara, wears mascara, this is like the best mascara. It went viral. It still continues to be a bestseller. minutewithmary.com/discount. I'm going to give you the hookup because you are a listener of ours.
Actually, one other thing too. I just want to, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Also, because Keep Calm and Crown On will be returning in November once The Crown premieres on Netflix. I don't have the day, unfortunately. But once, just rest assured, once The Crown premieres, Mary and I will be doing Keep Calm and Crown On only at jointhenerdclan.com. So if you are a fan of The Crown and you like all that good time stuff, you want to go there. And I know you're a fan of The Crown because Matt Smith, he was in The Crown season 1 and 2. So I just know that's, I already know that's a thing. So you might as well just go to jointhenerdclan.com and join up. All right, Marvin, now we're ready to get into the episode.
We
ready?
We truly are.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin, your mini plot episode recap for 109, the penultimate episode of season one of House of the Dragon. What do you got?
This, of course, is the episode that takes place after Viserys' death. It's the morning, the early wee hours when everyone kind of finds out. And the Green Council, meaning Alicent's dad and all the peeps, they try to figure out, what do we do? And Alicent finds out that many of them were plotting to have Aegon be king, whether she knew about it or not. And things get just really awkward. Kristen Cole kills another person in front of everybody. It's so gross and so weird. And essentially, there's like this big hunt for Aegon. We got to find him because he needs to be king before anyone realizes the king is dead. They find him, and Rhaenys.
There you go.
Rhaenys.
Wait till I tell you about the twin brothers' names.
Oh, no. Rhaenys does not agree with this situation, gets her dragon, leaves, scares the bejesus out of everybody, and probably heads to go warn
Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra and Daemon.
All right. Entitled The Green Council, as Mary has already alluded to, this is episode 109, the penultimate episode of season one. It was directed by Claire Kilner. You should know that name because she has directed two other episodes of this season, one being The King of the Narrow Sea, if we all remember that episode. And then she also directed We Light the Way. And it was written, once again, Mary, by another woman, Sarah Hess, who wrote The Princess and the Queen. And Mary, I wanted to know if you felt like there was a difference from the other episodes in comparison to this one, because once again, we have a tandem of a writer, a woman writer, and a woman director. Did you notice any differences? Did you feel like this was more in that vein, or did you feel like this was pretty representative of all the other episodes?
I felt pretty representative, I'm not going to lie. I think that obviously this director did a great job with Rhaenys.
Yes.
Just the subtleties. And a lot of that, though, I think is the actress and her having so much time on screen. I just think she's extraordinary in this role.
I also quite liked we'll get into it, but I quite liked the scene between Alicent and Aegon as they're in the carriage, driving towards the ceremony. And she says, all right, hey, listen, I'm going to make you the king. And then at the end of it, which I found out this was improvised, when he says, do you love me? That was not written. And that one line changes the entire episode for me.
So was you imbecile?
Yes.
Improv too?
All improv.
Perfect.
So it changes the whole conversation. It changes the whole thing as relates to Aegon taking the throne, which is really important. We'll get into that discussion later on. But Marvin, your flame rating, what are you giving for your flames for this episode?
I'm giving it 5 again.
Okay, great. All right. I'm going to give this one a 4.78. A little bit of a step back. I think there's some logical things that are happening here that are a little tough. And I think, of course, the one question we have to get into is the ending. And
is a question?
Yeah. If it makes sense.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get there. All right. You're a GBG. You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
My good for this episode, Alicent. The hour is quite late.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she says to any man when she doesn't want to get sexually involved. Whether it's Viserys having her handmaid come get her in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
or when it's Larys wanting to, you know,
do some feet pics.
Oh my goodness gracious. I also forgot my dad. Poor dad listens to this episode. Now he's freaking out about the people messaging his daughter for feet pics. Dad, my feet, right? Like, whatever. These feet are not beautiful.
Well, that's my good. Yeah.
Thank you, Blake.
You're welcome.
So I just was happy to hear that callback of the hour is quite late.
Okay. And you're bad.
My bad is that these poor peasants who are just trying to go to work, just trying to do their daily thing, which they already probably had to call their boss and say, listen, there is some major congestion on 95. I don't know what's going on. It wasn't like construction was planned or something. I'm being pushed. There were accidents. Oh my gosh, what's going on? Everyone gets forced into the coronation. They're scared. They don't know what's happening. Suddenly it's like, oh, it's a party. Maybe. Awesome. Yay. And then they just get killed by a dragon busting up through them. I mean, hundreds of people. Peasants.
Not a small amount of people.
No. And my great is Rhaenys.
Okay.
I just loved her in this entire episode. I don't know how she sleeps with that hairstyle. I have no idea. I think she has to sleep face down.
But still with a silk wrap, no matter what.
100% has the satin or silk wrap around that hair because it's amazing. But to keep it...
Sleeps
oh my
face
gosh.
Down.
Yeah, she must have one of those massage pillows. You know, the ones with the face cut out?
Yes. The Targaryen hair for women... Always on point.
Always.
Always. Like, that is like a, that's like a life staple. Mary, you know how like we have like Mary and Blake commandments here? Do you think it's like a Targaryen commandment that you're supposed to have incredible hair at all times?
Yes.
Like, the braids must be otherworldly.
Yes, 100%. like this is our, quote, you know, this is our crowning feature. And it must always look good.
All right, so my good, my for my GBG, is the conversation between Alicent and Aegon. The way the conversation that we mentioned at the top of our episode here, Mary, that conversation is changed by that one line. You know, so far we have come to understand Aegon as a spoiled and irresponsible and undeserving, and I would dare say even a little sadistic of a kid who just doesn't want to be crowned. And then when we finally get that one comment at the end, we recognize all of that is not because he's a bad person, which he very well might be, but it's not it's not necessarily guaranteed because of that. It's because he felt as though he never got love from his father. Or enough.
Or anybody.
Or anybody. Yeah, sure. Why not? But I would probably say his father most specifically, because his father always just took the side of Rhaenyra constantly. And he looked at Rhaenyra as his only true born child. And Aegon was just everything left over. You know, it's like the movie Twins, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, right? When they were bio-engineered twins, and they gave everything good to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all the crap left over went to Danny DeVito.
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen that movie forever. Like, I only saw it once.
Yeah,
oh
so that's what I think of, and I think that's what he is thinking of. And now that Viserys is dead, he gets a chance to finally ask his mother, do you love me? Like, do you actually love me? And it's not to say that he doesn't know that, but maybe her love will make him worthy of being the king. Maybe that will help enhance him as a person. I highly doubt it, but the insecurity is there. And that one comment sheds light on so much insecurity, and it won't necessarily make Aegon a likable character. It may not even change anybody's opinion, but the fact that it's there is a big step towards giving him more than just I'm a shitty kid. It's more than being Joffrey. Like, at least Aegon recognizes I'm not good for this role. Like, this is not where I should be. This is not what I want. Joffrey, on the other hand, was just this sniveling little kid, one of the worst yet best antagonists in all of television history.
Agreed.
When that kid bought it, everybody cheered. So I like what they're doing with Aegon in this. Mm-hmm. The bad for me actually goes back to Aegon, and it is in the ceremony. At the end of the episode, there were two things that really struck me. first was how awful those trumpets sounded. It's the trumpets that were airing once he was walking underneath all the swords. Great scene, by the way. I loved how they shot that. Mm-hmm. But the trumpets just sounded like synth trumpets.
Oh.
And it just ruined it so much for me. I don't know why. It just sounded really bad. But the next one is when Aegon has Blackfyre, the sword from Aegon the Conqueror, and he hears everybody cheering, and wow, actually, this is pretty good. Like, people kind of like me. People are kind of happy that I'm the king. And he gets the sword and he holds it up in the air, and Claire Kilner decides to do like this close up of his fist with the sword and holding it in the air, and like the way the camera pans around him, it just reminded me of one of those bad like adaptations of like a teen fiction movie.
Really?
Yeah, like
but isn't that perfect because he is a teen?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. I took it
like when people are on stage and they're like, repeat after me. And the crowd,
yeah.
Like, it just kind of, that was like his rock star moment.
I mean, I agree. And maybe that speaks more to his character and the way that it was all held than anything. I just thought, God, this just feels like,
no, I took it as this just teenage feels like a Disney movie, oh,
and he's just like, yeah, and
sword in the stone,
yeah, and like I liked the part where he had both of his hands in the air and he's cheering the crowd on as if to say, yes, you know, embrace me and blanket me with all of your cheers, but just like the yeah, like the,
I think what would have made it bad is if he jumped in the crowd and what's that when they like
crowd surfed? Yeah, there you go. So that was my bad. The great, though, has to be the opening 10 minutes or so. Like, just the silence boy with the little boy going up and telling everybody that.
How does that little boy wake up so early to do his job?
Because he's like 7. Oh,
good point. Good point. They probably told him it's a Saturday because our kids only wake up on the weekends. They are up in our room 7 a.m. Can we watch TV? Can we watch TV? And we're like, guys,
it's the weekend.
You don't even wake up at this time on school days.
Right.
That's what they must do. They must find
it's like Tangled.
Little kids.
7 a.m.
Yes.
Usual morning lineup.
I mean, he's fully dressed.
Yeah. Ready
Lord
to go.
Knows what his job is. He probably has to go restoke the fire or get the king like his water or something.
Already had 3 cups of coffee. Guaranteed.
That kid?
Yo, yeah.
This isn't.
There's no rules.
This isn't Encanto.
Coffee's for grown-ups. No, I'm telling you.
And he knows to go down and to tell Talia.
Yes.
Is that his mom? Does she just have a deal with him?
Maybe, you know, she's got a deal.
Tell me. Yeah, she probably does have a deal. She probably gives him like a lollipop or something.
Either way, that kid's up and he's ready to go. And then, you know, the whole process of it happening and just how somber. And again, it shows you the difference in the Red Keep as opposed to the beginning of this season. It is cold. It is colorless. Mm-hmm. It is somber, quiet, almost like not. It's not reverent. It's just, man. There's just no life anymore right now, and going from that. And then into the small council where we have the, you know, everybody shows up and they put the little balls on like the thing and they start talking. And the way that Kilner shoots this scene was spectacular, like legitimately spectacular with all of the cuts, the quick cuts from Otto Hightower to the Lannister kid, and then to Sir Harold Westerling, and then to Lord Beesbury, and then back to the Queen. You could tell that others were in on this conversation, and the most important person in the room, being the Queen, mm-hmm. was not. And you could see it instantly.
Agreed.
And simultaneously, you could see that whatever was happening in this room, Sir Harold Westerling was really not comfortable with it. Graham McTavish.
Yes.
Graham McTavish was not comfortable.
Are we still in your good?
No, my great. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that first 10 minutes was just spectacular television because it told you everything without having to tell you. It just showed you everything. And that was that. So, all right, my love, are you ready for the small council feedback?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
His Grace has many cares. He entrusts some small matters to us that we might lighten the load.
We are the lords of small matters here.
All right, the first one comes from Casey Norman. She says, I'm confused about one item, Marion Blake.
Okay.
What building in the middle of the episode got burned? Mary, what is your take?
The White Worm, Masaria's building.
Yes, like her house?
Yeah.
Or whatever she works out of or whatever.
That's what I think.
That was my take as well. There was a lot of confusion about this. Was it like the pits where the kids were fighting? Was that Sir Otto Hightower taking care of it? And
I don't think he'd be true to his word. I think he would just say,
yeah, well, yeah, we're looking into that. Yeah, sure. We'll take care of that for you. Yeah.
I think he would have burned her instead of the pits where they'd fight the kids. Because honestly, they're just going to change venues. If you burn the pits where they have the kid
fights,
they're just going to change venues. But if you kill the White Worm, that problem and those traitors are done.
And then there was a question like, okay, is this like all the servants that knew the king was dead? Are they burning all the people that were like in the jail cell?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And here's what I will say. It was confusing. And I think it takes some sussing out for you as a viewer to understand what happened. And my interpretation of that was they burned Masaria's house and they think that she's in it.
Yes.
And it's not from Sir Otto Hightower. It's from Larys.
Correct.
And Larys, it's supposed to, in my opinion, reflect what he did to his brother and his father at Harrenhal.
I would agree.
So it's supposed to mirror that, in my opinion.
I think that what also is very confusing is that the screen capture cover image for this episode is the White Worm.
Yeah.
And so I agree. We don't get any necessary closure with her, nor is it, I don't know, it just wasn't a remarkable landmark where you would say that was definitely her home.
Yeah, like that's
she
like,
was in it.
Yeah, so that's a thing that we know.
To me, I agree. That's who I just took it as.
So it is certainly confusing. I think it takes some sussing out. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, we were only basing it off of what the show was offering us. We have the scene with Larys and Alicent, and then immediately after that, we have Rhaenys getting rescued by Sir Arryk.
Mm-hmm. Not Eric.
Not Eric.
Arryk.
Arryk. Cargill.
His parents, like, what are you doing?
No, it's Gurm. Just like, buddy, why don't you just bring up the names and figure it out? Like, Rhaenys, Rhaenyra, Helena, Lainor,
whatever.
Arryk,
we're just going to call them both Arryk.
Cargill okay? 1,
that's
Cargill
what I'm going to do. Arryk 1, Arryk 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I really am.
Yeah.
You're stupid, Gurm. Yeah.
So then we have Rhaenys being rescued by, I think it's Arryk too. And
so you think it's the one who actually hasn't been by Aegon's side? I took it as the one that was by Aegon's side the entire time. It was like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, it could be.
Is that Arryk? Or was it Arryk, the one who's not with Aegon the entire time, who's like, man, your job sucks.
I think, I think it's the one that has not been with Aegon the entire time because the conversation was, you've seen this kid, you've seen what he's doing. And the brother's response was, but I'm sworn to protect him at all costs.
Okay, so Arryk, a kid.
Yeah, like, we'll call him Arryk 2.
We'll call him Arryk
2. Okay, Arryk 2 is the one that's against Aegon. And Arryk 2 was like, he came in and he rescued Rhaenys.
Yes.
And said, I can't be a part of this anymore. Yeah. We need to figure this out. So we have that scene. And then right after that scene, when they come out of the keep and they look out into the sky, into the cityscape, mm-hmm. you see a burning fire.
Yes.
And she says, where are we? And he says, okay, we're here, whatever, Google Maps. And
he says, get to the water.
The next scene is the burning fire and then the person in a hood walking away from the fire. And then that's that. The way that hits to me is we go from the conversation to Larys and then another in between and then boom, something happens. That to me feels like it's Larys influencing what's happening in the plot instantly. Like,
okay.
He has the conversation, he has his foot picks, and he's moving on to the next thing so that he gains more trust and he's able to get more feet picks from Allison.
Well, and he just told Otto, I can be your friend too. I can do your stuff.
Yes.
So I would agree with that.
So either way, I think it's Laris, and I think it is him, because he tells Allison there's a way to stop all of this, and you cut the head off at the queen. He's like, not to, you know, sorry for the word choice here, but like you gotta get it at the head. And then instantly, you know, you're reminded all of these rumors and everything and all the information that was given to Otto was given to him by Missaria. And that is, we gotta kill Missaria. So that's how I think that works out.
Okay.
All right, the next one comes from Candace Combs. Mary, what do you got?
Candace writes in saying, loved it. Loving the series. I can't wait for the finale, but I'm also sad that it's all coming to an end so fast. For my good, I loved puzzling out Allison's behavior. Her choices didn't seem to match her heart. She sets an absolutely vicious ball rolling when she says Viserys wouldn't want his daughter killed. Is she that naive? Or does she want to continue as proxy ruler behind her son? Or does she want a better window in her prison, as Rhaenys says? There are good arguments for any stance with Allison, and I love that about her character. My bad is the white worm. What's her goal? Money and the children? Why have the nickname if you're going to show yourself in public to Otto? Why hide Aegon, then give him up for some coins and a promise? So much lost potential with that character. My grade is obviously Rhaenys. I love everything about her. I loved her dragon entrance. I gasped. It was wonderful. I don't even care that it doesn't make sense that she chose not to roast the Hightowers. She can't barbecue the cast of the second season. I want to see them get roasted by one in a series that we may be able to see in 2024. Lots of fun, and I'm loving it all. Oh, wait, except Laris. That guy sucks.
Bam! Just like that. A winner! Oh, that was good. Very good stuff right there. All right, Mom, are you ready for... Oh, no, we have some... we actually have some voicemails here. Let's get to those first. If my computer will let me. Hold on. Let's restart that. There we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Brittany from Rhode Island.
Brittany!
I am rating this episode a 4.7. I actually felt pretty sorry for Allison in this episode.
Same.
I feel like she tries to do the right thing, or at least what she thinks is the right thing most of the time. But the men around her, especially her father, do not share that intent. I think she is truly starting to see him for who he is. I yelled so loud when Sir Criston murdered poor Lord Beesbury.
Oh,
I was actually afraid I might have woken up my kids. My boys, Ned and Dougal, Sir Harold and Beesbury, have more honor in their little pinky than Sir Criston could ever hope to have.
Yep.
I hope that's not the last we see of Sir Harold and that he goes to join Team Black.
Yes.
Oh, the reluctant King Aegon, once he tasted that power, he wasn't so reluctant anymore. Mm-hmm. This will be interesting. And when Rhaenys came in on the dragon, all I could think of was Miley Cyrus. I came in like a wrecking ball.
Yes.
Oh, I like it. Oh, I like that. Good one. Maybe we'll play that at the end of this episode.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
You know what, Mary? Let's pour one out for Sir Lord Beesbury. And as we all affectionately know him as well as Ned Gowan from Outlander. Pour one out for him.
My gosh. Honestly, my heart broke too.
I know.
I was just saying to Blake, as they're rolling all these balls around the table, I'm like, what are these even for?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it like an attendance thing?
Well, at first I saw it as whoever has the ball gets to speak.
Makes sense.
And you kind of like roll the ball. Okay, it's my turn. Roll the ball. Awesome. But everybody has a ball. So... You're supposed to turn it over when it's your turn to speak? I, as an attendance marker, we can all see you.
I know you're here.
What are we doing with these
balls? Do they
have
little markings on the ball, like for how many times you do show up?
Gosh, ball in the head. No, thank you.
What's the thing that you go into when you don't show up to school enough? Wait, like, what's it called?
Oh, I don't know, but we got that letter.
It wasn't for our kids. It was just a notification.
No, we got a letter saying your kids were late to school too many times.
Really?
Last year. Well, because then we would also keep them out if we thought they might have the big C.
Oh, yeah, the whole world did that.
No, but like truancy.
Truancy, there you go.
And you could go to jail as a parent.
Right.
if you keep your kid out or if your kid's late more than 30 days out of the school year. So just imagine you're 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, any of these kind of things. And last year, I'm not going to lie, friends, A, I was keeping them out if they had sniffles and coughs because we had to do that.
Yeah.
But B, if my kids had a rough morning, I said, you know what?
Let's go get some donuts.
You run us some donuts. We'll just go in 10 minutes late, thinking nothing of it. Then we get a letter. Just so you know.
You're going to jail, lady.
You could go to jail because you're getting too many donuts for your kids after their emotionally wrecked past couple of years. Thanks to the pandemic.
We noticed a slight weight gain in your children.
Not our kids.
Our kids are freaking rails.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, the amount of food that they eat. Their metabolism literally must be Chernobyl. Like, it must just be pouring out of them.
Oh, my God.
I could borrow some of that metabolism.
Please.
And they'd still be fine. Do you think they go into truancy if there's enough markings on the ball?
No idea.
So pour one out for
Lord Beesbury.
Lord Beesbury or Ned Gowan. Also, by the way, found out that Helena is actually Elfwyn from The Last Kingdom. Just want to throw that out there, which is interesting.
Mm.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Hi, Mary Blake. It's Glow from Thuin. This is
your cousin from Boston.
The Dragon, episode 9. Five Flames. Sweet baby Jesus, what an episode. My good was when Commander Westling resigned and removed his cloak. Like a boss. My bad, Sir Criston is truly unhinged. Rest in peace, Lord Beesbury. You were a loyal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my great was Rhaenyra's exit. Rhaenys's. Oh my God. Yes, she could have ended all of the Greens with one Dracarys, but I think she saw a mom protecting her son and probably didn't feel like it was her place. Plus, we wouldn't have a show. I was literally sick to my stomach twice when we saw the cage of children made to fight each other and Alicent giving into Larys's, oh my God, what the hell's his name? Foot fetish. Now, I totally support everyone's choice to be into whatever they like,
yep.
But that just creeped me out. How did they make that deal? What was the discussion there? I'd like to know. I think I know what Helena meant by the beast beneath the boards, but I think it's a spoiler, so I'm not going to mention it. And next week's finale is going to be insane. Wish we could all watch it together somehow. That's it. Bye.
Yeah, you know. I feel like the beast beneath the boards thing was in reference to
Rhaenys's
dragon. I could be wrong. Maybe that's too on the nose. But you know what? Fair enough. Either way, if it's still yet to come, that will be an interesting take. Here's one thing, Mary, that I like too. The whole foot fetish thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the conversation doesn't happen on screen. Does not happen on screen. It just happens. And it shows you that Rhaenys is still 100% correct when she says to Alicent, you don't want to break, in using the terminology that Daenerys would use, you don't want to break the wheel. You just want to have a window.
Yeah.
It shows you that Alicent, no matter all the stuff that she says, no matter what she does, and we could guide these men and yada, yada. No, she's still in service to men, and she's still dependent and needs men, and she still follows men. And the fact that she allows the feet picks shows that in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to play that at the top of our episode, because there is so much there that describes Alicent and the choice that Rhaenys makes when she says, when she decides, nah, I'm busting out of this joint. I think it comes right from that moment.
I would agree.
I think that's when she realizes, I can't back Alicent. Like, I know that I'm here. I know that she's saying all the right things, but this is not the person that I want her to be.
Mm-hmm.
She's not capable of doing it because she's still in service to men.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And Rhaenyra, by all accounts, is not in service to men. So that's that. All right, you ready for your dad's take?
Always.
Oh, Mary and Blake favorite segment. Here we go.
Hi, it's Mary's dad again, talking about episode 9. Well, who thought they could have an episode without Rhaenyra or Daemon in it? But amazing what's going on. And I'm going to try to give you my good, bad, and great. My good would be when Sir Harold took off his white cape and basically said, I'm not going to have any part of these shenanigans. I'll wait till we have a real king and I'll serve him.
Oh, awesome.
Must be really difficult to try to serve with honor and integrity when the people that you're serving don't have that. My bad, two things. I felt bad Lord Lyman got killed. I didn't think he deserved that.
Agreed.
He was a stand-up guy.
Caswell, maybe?
And the real bad was Queen Alicent and Laris at the end, where she was taking off her stockings to definitely lure him in. And he was choking the monkey there. I think that those two are going to get together and she's going to reap what she sows from the relationship.
Yes, she is. Oh, my God. Hold on. Just wait. Just wait. Your dad choking the monkey.
I've never heard that phrase before, Blake.
I've never heard it. And I'm just so excited that that phrase has found its...
way into the Mary and Blake universe.
It's found its way into the world.
Is my dad saying he thinks that they are going to get together, like that they're going to be a thing?
No, I just think that she's setting up a bad habit, and no matter what she is getting out of this, it ain't gonna be good.
Did he tell her dad when her dad was like, so you hang out a lot? And he's like, yeah, we do. I'll tell you more. You want to know?
I went and rubbed one out.
Did she inherit her feet from you or her mom?
Well, she does look like her mother in certain looks.
I know, but maybe her feet look like her dad's.
Oh, my God. Oh, can you just... I love feet. I love feet.
I don't discriminate.
I never yuck somebody's yum, man. Never yuck somebody's yum.
Okay, continue with my dad.
All right, here we go. Hold on. Choking the monkey. Okay.
She came in on the dragon. She could have wiped everybody out and ended the saga right there, but she chose not to. Not sure why she held back, but she didn't say Dracarys. She let everybody live. So it's going to be interesting to see how things continue. That's it for this week. Take care.
Oh, thank you so much, Grampy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Mary.
Yeah.
As much as I want to keep talking about choking the monkey here.
Your
dad brings up a great question, and I think it is the one that is on everybody's mind and on top of the entire fandom's mind.
Oh.
And that is Rhaenys not obliterating an entire line of people with just one word.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of different takes on this.
Oh, okay.
And I think some people are very upset.
Oh, why?
Like that it doesn't make sense.
Oh.
And that some people are, on the other hand, saying, of course it makes sense. Where do you fall in this spectrum? And why do you fall on that part in this spectrum?
I fall on that Rhaenys' side. She made the right choice for her.
Okay, why?
Well, A, this story will be over.
Yeah, but what if...
Goodbye.
Aside from that...
Done.
I agree. There are certain things that have to happen in order for the story to happen, right? To continue.
I think she did it out of respect for Alicent. I think that they shared a moment and her son supposedly was just burned to a crisp and she couldn't fathom burning this woman's children after she had just lost her children as well. And that she was able to see in Alicent's eyes the fear that she had for her children. And it was a mother to mother thing where she could not do that.
So does that outweigh what's right for the realm?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And
in Rhaenys' mind. In Rhaenys' mind, whatevs, man. Whatevs. Ain't my problem anymore.
Not my chair, not my problem.
Not my chair, not my problem. Just get me out of here. The people I care about aren't here. And if I burn everybody, I'm going to put my people in danger even more. Like, my granddaughters aren't necessarily in danger. It's the boys that are in danger.
Sure.
Okay? Valyrian girls, they're kind of okay.
Yeah, but they're going to be in danger because they're going to end up marrying.
But they're not married yet.
Fair.
And even if they end up marrying them, we know. You're single again? Okay, come marry your other cousin. Like, something else could happen to them. That's the only people that she cares about right now. And if she were to jeopardize that by killing all of these people, all hell would break loose. Plus, I just don't see how it would work. I truly think she had a mother bonding moment with Alicent and saw this woman trying to do the best that she can. And as a grieving mother herself, she could not kill this woman, this other mother's children, in front of her, no less.
Well, she would have killed all of them altogether.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I think it was a mother moment.
I actually quite liked the shot of Alicent closing her eyes in preparation.
Yes.
And shielding her son. And like, mm-hmm. I also thought it was quite telling that Aegon hid behind his mom.
Agreed.
But yeah, Mary, I tend to agree with you on this. And that brings up the next question. Okay, let's just say that you're right, all right, that she has decided, I can't kill all of these people because I don't want to burn up a whole line of people.
And when this could help her, too. You have to think, like, now Alicent kind of owes her. Now Aegon kind of owes her.
True. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that is actually something that is one of the potential answers to my question to you, which was this. Let's just say for the sake of argument that you're right. And she can't burn up the kid because she saw her son burned, you know, theoretically mm-hmm. or literally, but not necessarily him, though she doesn't know that. Either way, she thinks that her son was burned. She can't burn up her kids. She can't burn up Allison's kids. Yet, on the other hand, she knows that if she doesn't do this and she goes right into Rhaenyra, which we all suspect she's going to do. Like, go straight from...
Maybe she picks up Sir Harold on the way. Right. He's so shiny.
That she sees him on the ocean.
She can see him from above, yeah.
Rowing.
Yeah.
We imagine that she's going straight to Dragonstone to tell Rhaenyra. Now, we both know that Rhaenyra does not know what has just happened.
I mean, or she just flies to Hawaii and says, I'm done with this.
I'm selling coconuts.
Goodbye.
With Ethelflaed and Eric in The Last Kingdom.
Yes.
As that's a good Last Kingdom reference for you.
Maybe
even
maybe she picks up Eric number two along the way.
Right. So many Erics in our life. She knows that there is bound to be a civil war here. Alicent is the one that even says it. If Rhaenyra does not have your dragon, which is the largest dragon, like, in all of the Game of Thrones world at this moment, to my knowledge.
No, I thought...
Rhaegar. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Whatever. Stats for nerds.
But she has, like, the mightiest fighting one.
Right. So...
Malus or something. That's the dragon's name.
So if she knows that there is bound to be some sort of civil war, wouldn't she take from her own experience of being denied the crown to be like, no, like, let's not have any problems here. Like, let's not allow for any civil war whatsoever. Let's just kill all these people.
No, because
get it done
then
with.
All of those, the high towers, everyone who she kills on there in the Sept is going to be against the Dragon Riders. It could be an even bigger problem. Like, how do you now reinstate these people when you just killed, like, the pastors, pretty much, essentially, and, like, all these townspeople? Like, she murdered hundreds of people coming up through that floor.
She definitely did.
So, to me, she is, get me out of here. I'm not going to harm you because you're another mom, and I see the terror in your eyes, but I am going to go save my grandbabies.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure that everybody that has been kept out of the loop here. I mean, this is a coup. This is a palace coup here. And the people have to know. The people that are supposedly going to be in charge have to know this. Which also brings up a question, Mary. If you remember, in a boss move, like a big time flex, Otto brings everybody into the throne room and makes everybody kneel. And there are a few people that don't. And he takes them off and whisks them away. And then that one guy that does kneel tries to sneak out.
That was Lord Caswell.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Lord Caswell.
The one who congratulated Rhaenyra on her baby.
Yep.
The one that met her and Daemon when they came in. And she's like, so good to see you again. Yep. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Poor Lord Caswell, who I honestly thought was going to be a big player somehow, some way.
But it, you know what?
Tries.
For the very fact that you're able to remember him and the fact that you're able to remember the back and forth that he had with Rhaenyra shows to you that they did a good job with enough with his character to make it somewhat memorable of what's going on. How in God's name do they find that guy and just off that dude? But then they let Sir Harold Westerling go. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Take your cloak off.
You really want to know, Blake.
Figure it out.
You really want to know?
Absolutely.
Are you, like, actually confused?
I'm a little confused. All right. Sure.
I'll break it on down
for you. Break it on down.
So what time of day do you think little boy in red found out King Viserys was dead? 5 a.m.
5 a.m.,
Let's say it's 5. Goes downstairs, tells Talia. Talia comes up and tells the queen. Yep. Queen goes, tells Otto. By now, maybe it's 6, okay?
Sure.
Otto freaks out, gets all the servants, everybody put into a jail by 7. And the small council starts meeting at 7:10. Everyone's complaining. I haven't had my Starbucks yet. What's going on? Wah, 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 wah. Sir Harold leaves the small council by what? 7:30, 7:45.
Sure.
Okay. Lord Beesbury maybe dies at 7:30. Sir Harold's out of there by 7:45.
Gotcha.
Sir Harold leaves.
Yep.
Does anyone in the Kingsguard know that Viserys is dead? No.
No.
Does anyone know that King Viserys is dead outside of that prison, outside of the small council and Laerys?
Right. But why would anybody on the small council let Sir Harold go? That's my question.
What do you mean?
Why would they let him go?
They had bigger fish to fry at that moment. He didn't say, I'm going to commit treason. He's just like, listen, I don't want to be in this room because y'all are crazy right now. And when there actually is a king, I'll be here. They probably didn't think right. And what were they going to do? Have Sir Criston Cole kill another person?
True.
I think then everyone else would have lost their minds. I think Otto would have had Sir Harold killed, but I don't think the other people would have. I don't think Alicent would have. I don't think anybody else would have been cool with that. Mm-hmm. Only Otto. So I thought that he probably thought, okay, Sir Harold is Sir Harold. Like, where's he going to hide? He's got a shiny armor. They probably
and a big
thought,
bald head.
Yeah, they probably thought he was just going to go and have a little time out. I think he left. I think he went out and said hi to his friends, Eric and Eric, at the gate and said, listen, I'm going to go get a Starbucks. Do you want anything? Okay, you want the cinnamon mocha latte? I got you. I'll be right back. Okay,
do you want the unicorn latte?
Oh, yeah. You want the pink drink? All right, open the gate for me. I'm going to go grab it. You guys know, I treat you right. I'm a good boss, right? High five. He busts it out of there, and he is out of King's Landing by 8:15.
Gotcha. Okay.
Out. Bye. Took his fastest horse, probably got his Starbies on the way, so he is good, caffeinated, and out of there.
What's his drink? That's the question. If Eric and Arik are
oh, you know,
pink drink, like, and cinnamon mocha latte.
Oh, his is probably like a double espresso, you know, shaken oat milk kind of thing. Healthy, but like
healthy, serious. But enough.
Yeah, but kick. I mean, he has to go to Dragonstone. So that happens by 8:15 a.m.
Oat milk.
Who else were you saying got killed? Oh, then you got Sir Caswell. Okay, so that was 8:15 a.m. Small council is out by 8:30.
Uh-huh.
All right. Then they have to call in all the lords. Maybe this happens by noon. Okay? Maybe this happens by noon.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay? Sir Caswell comes in. At this point, they start to tell the rest of the Kingsguard. They're looking for Aegon. They're doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Caswell doesn't want to bend the knee, but does 1 p.m. Now all the Night's Guard know, and everyone's freaking out because now all of the knights know what's going on. And they're looking for Aegon.
Yes.
And they said, please don't let anybody leave.
Gotcha.
Lord Caswell tries to leave at 3 o'clock.
And they got issues.
Yes.
And they've circled the wagons enough.
And nobody even realizes that because they got so, you know, blown away that Viserys is dead, nobody realized they didn't get their cinnamon mocha latte.
Under the radar.
Under the radar. They're going to figure it out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You're welcome.
Absolutely fair.
Could they have used timestamps in the morning? Probably. But I think Lord Caswell was stopped in the afternoon, and I think Sir Harold was stopped first thing in the morning before his cohorts would have been told not to let him go.
Gotcha. There's another great thing that happens in this, again, within the first 10 minutes of this episode, Mary, and we've discussed it already, but I want to discuss it further, and that is the fact that Alicent does not know what's happening. In fact, she does everything in her power to make sure that Rhaenyra and Team Black don't get killed. And that is the, you know, the reason behind the entire race to find Aegon, right? I think some people were confused, like, why are we racing to find Aegon? Like, either way, they're going to find him. The difference is if Otto finds him first, they believe that Aegon will be influenced enough by Otto to say, by him saying, go make sure Rhaenyra gets killed. Alicent is racing to find Aegon to get him influenced enough to say, don't kill Rhaenyra, send terms to make sure that she understands what's happening here. And that is the race. That's the whole purpose of what we're trying to do. And I like the fact that she does everything she can to make sure that the right thing happens. Even though she wants her son, and she knows, at least within her perspective, that her son is supposed to be on the throne, given orders by Viserys, at least to her, again, to her perspective, she's trying to do the right thing. She's not just following along, and she's not just giving in. She's doing that. And that, to me, makes her, again, a much more likable and much more tragic character for what's about to come. Would you agree or disagree?
No, I completely agree. That?
Yeah.
You feel so much sadness for her that she spent all this time and all this energy and she just can't seem to do the right thing. And then on top of that, her husband just died, who, you know, obviously wasn't the most ideal relationship, but she obviously cared about him greatly. And then they're trying to kill her friend, who she just mea culpa, like yesterday.
Yes. Yep, 100%. 100%. And it just makes, whenever you have someone trying to do something to change, it makes a character more believable, right? It makes, when somebody feels so strongly about something, you intend and you expect as a viewer that that character will do everything in their power to make sure that that thing happens, right? Everybody makes fun of Batman versus Superman because that whole conflict between Batman versus and Superman would not have happened if Superman just said to Batman, hey, they got my mom. Yeah. Can you help me out? They tried to give us an end around with the whole Martha thing, but it didn't work because they just didn't. The one thing that should have happened was a conversation. And Superman should have been able to tell Batman, this is the problem, and this is what's happening. Let's stop all of this. Mm-hmm. Instead it was, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already. Like that whole, and it just doesn't ring true as characters. It doesn't ring true as people, especially for a character like Superman, who always at least tries to do the right thing. The fact that Alicent was able to do this and still fight against her father and still try to do the right thing makes her very believable. And it also helps shine Otto in a different light. Does this now make Otto a completely unlikable character? Or is he just trying to do the right thing and believes what he's doing is the right thing?
I mean, I don't like him. Mm-hmm. He still believes what he's doing is the right thing.
Let me rephrase it. Is he irredeemable now because of this?
No.
No?
No.
You still think that he has good in him?
Somewhere.
Somewhere deep down.
I do.
Someone who definitely...
I think that there's potential for good somewhere in him, but I'm also a glasses half full kind of person.
Someone who definitely has potential to get really scared at all times is Jason Lannister. When Sir Criston Cole and Harold Westerling went, no, When they draw swords, that guy couldn't have left that chair quick enough.
He peed his pants.
That guy. Oh, boy.
Why doesn't he take a different seat? Why doesn't he? I wanted him to just take his seat and scoot it a little away from the blood.
Oh, my God. That would have been great.
Because they show him going back, and that's really what I wanted, was just a little scoot scoot.
That would have been awesome, Mary. That would have been just a little bit. Just doesn't have to be huge. Yeah, just like a little bit of a shift.
Yep.
You know, oh, man. Talk to me about Aemond and your thoughts on him as he's telling Sir Criston Cole that, you know, Aegon should not be the king. It should be me. I'm the one that would be found. I'm the one who's done all the right things.
I love it.
And do you find that Criston is kind of on board? Like, I got that sense a little bit.
No, he appreciates it, but he's also, Sir Criston Cole, like, loves to play the martyr, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just don't get what we want, you know? We're so good, and we do all the right things. Like me, I'm a really good boy. I'm a really good boy. I don't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have sex anymore. Sometimes we don't get what we want. And you're a really good boy, too. But you're not going to be king. And it's okay. I think he's just like, I think he thinks Aemond is trying to commiserate with him, and mm-hmm. I think he thinks it's like a therapy sesh, you know, where everyone just kind of like gets things off their chest, like a talking circle.
Yes.
And really, Aemond's trying to be like, you know me, I would kick butt at this job. Aemond's not here for a talking circle. This isn't group circle. Therapy. What's Sir Criston Cole.
What's the circle they use in Hocus Pocus?
Calming circle?
A calming circle.
Yeah. Not a calming circle.
Oh my God, a calming circle. You know, they tried, you know, he wanted to have a calming circle.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it was Tyland Lannister, not Jason Lannister. I messed that up. Yeah.
Sir Criston Cole, though, is bananas. He thinks he's doing the right thing. And then he and Allison, of course, have that weird thing. You know, if you value our relationship,
yeah,
he's the queen.
Yeah, that made me tilt my head a little bit.
Okay. I think she is just like waving her femininity around all these guys to get what she wants. She knows Sir Criston Cole won't try to kiss her, grope her, but he wants to be with her because she's like, oh, look at me. I'm a high and mighty. She's what he thinks is like the ideal perfect woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does not... He has such strong convictions of this faith and what women are supposed to be like. And he sees her as this pinnacle. I mean, he would honestly do anything for her.
Sure.
I don't think she's you know, doing anything inappropriate with him.
Unbecoming?
Yes.
Okay.
But she uses it to her advantage.
Fair enough. I think she does. Because, like...
I mean, he those literally kills Beesbury, and then she's like, he didn't insult me. Just killed Beesbury for nothing, but he didn't.
Well, he didn't mean to kill. Like, that was a thing. Like, there are people saying, like, how can...
I don't think he meant to kill
him. Yeah, how could Criston Cole get away with the fact that he just killed Lord Beesbury?
He didn't say sorry, I'll tell you that. When it's an accident, you should say sorry.
Well, the guy's friggin' brains are sprawled out all over the table.
But Sir Criston
it's a little
Cole
late by
said,
then.
I didn't know I was that strong.
You might as well just give him a unicorn latte at that point. Oh, man. All right. You got anything else in this episode that you want to talk about? Oh, do you like the spectacle? That I guess that's the last thing that I want to talk about. Game of Thrones, the previous show, was known for its penultimate episodes being the diamond in the rough, right? The diamond of the seasons, whether it was the Battle of the Blackwater, Battle of the Bastards, you know, the Winds of Winter, the whole thing, right? This episode is rather muted in comparison until the end, when we do get the spectacle of the dragon and we do get the spectacle of Rhaenys coming out from underneath the floor and doing the dragon thing and then flying off to go pick up Eric II and Sir Harold Westerling and the whole thing. Do you enjoy the spectacle of it? Did that make it stand out for you?
100%.
Yeah. Was it? Do you think it was there as? And what by when I say by spectacle, I mean like.
I loved it because she had just been told by Allison, "You should have been queen. You should have been queen. You would have been right for this." And I just loved that moment for her because it was like, "Yes, I should have been, and I could rule all of you right now."
Right, but I'm not. I'm choosing. Maybe that's one of the reasons why she did it too. Like, yes, I could have been queen, and I could do the thing right now that makes me either one queen or two.
Won't make her queen.
But like if she showed up.
But she'd get in major trouble. She'd get in major trouble for just killing all those people, many of whom were her family, without Rhaenyra knowing. I just decided to do this on my own. She would be in serious trouble with everybody.
Well, I agree. But I guess what I'm getting at, Mary, is the fact that she pulls back and doesn't do what we all want her to do. That is a flex. That's a huge flex. And to me, what that does is it shows Alicent, I'm still continuing to do the right thing. And you should know to back down.
Yeah.
Because.
My hair still looks good.
No matter. I just came through a friggin' floor and my hair is still on fleek. Is that still even a word? Like, is that still even a phrase anymore?
I don't think so. But.
No, but like it's still showing Alicent, you know you're doing the wrong thing. And you're still continuing to do it. Whereas I could have done this and I'm not. I think that's part of it too. Would you agree?
Just a flex. I don't even need to do this because you know how awesome I am.
Fair. All right. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my love?
That is it.
All right. Let's get to it then. Who are you rooting for? Who's the bad guy?
Oh, bad guy. The bad guy. Still Larys. I don't trust that guy more now.
That guy's out.
Sir Criston Cole, he's on my bad guy list too. If those two team up.
You know they're gonna, right?
Oh my gosh.
There's gonna be an instance where they have to together.
It's gonna be so bad. And my good guy, I'm rooting for Rhaenys.
Yeah, man.
Like, what does she get to do? And when is Corlys coming back?
I think he comes back in the finale. There's a hot take for
you. And them. Where is Sea Smoke?
Corlys comes back with Sea Smoke.
No, Sea Smoke is Laenor's.
No, I know. But he comes back. He, like, has him in tow.
Okay.
And bad news happens. That's a hot take for you. I mean, it's not. That's kind of like a warm take. That's a microwave take. But it's still... Corlys comes back in the finale, and there's going to be somewhat of a battle that kicks off the rest of the Civil War, and Corlys is the one that starts it.
Awesome.
That's my thought. That's great. A hot take for you. All right, who's my bad guy? I think my bad guy... Yeah, you know, it's... I'm out on Otto Hightower.
Good.
Nothing good is coming from that guy. And the reason why I say that is because he made it a point to make the whole episode he against Alicent. Wait, it should be you supporting Alicent. Mm. That's what it should be. Like, no matter what.
He doesn't care about her, though.
And that's true, Mary,
because
even Allison says that to him at the end of the episode where it's like, you never cared about me. No. I was just a pawn in the game for you.
Yes.
And you made me think that you were like, you cared about me. But that's why I think he's my bad guy right now. Like, dude, no way. And the person I'm rooting for. Yeah, it's gotta be Rhaenys. Rhaenys feels to me like the moral compass of the show.
I love her.
At first I thought it was going to be Sir Criston Cole.
Can she be the hand of the queen?
Oh goodness. That would be great.
Hopefully there's no foot of the queen.
No, Larys already has that.
Yes.
He already has that job pinned. Sorry. That's already all set. I like Rhaenys. I like that idea that she's the hand of the queen. I like this idea.
Or maybe she goes back and says, listen, I know you want to be queen, but can I?
Yeah, can we?
You know, Allison just told me I would be a good queen, and I kind of like that. So how about I be it for just a little bit? I'm going to die. I'm older.
Yeah. Just give me a shot.
Yeah, you keep having babies.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll name you my heir.
There you go.
We start the whole process all over again. Mary, lastly, last question I have for you. Your father brought it up, and it's an important question, and that is, this is the first episode that did not include Daemon and Rhaenyra. Do you think...
There was someone in a dark cloak walking around.
Yeah, you don't know who it was. Could have been. Do you think the show or the episode falters or suffers from this at all? Yeah. Or did you like how intentional that the episode was with the specific point of view only on the greens?
I loved it only with the greens.
I kind of liked it too.
Because I feel like this next episode is really going to only be with the blacks. It's about them finding out and making their plans.
Yeah. And then we might have a confrontation at the end or whatever. Like, or if they do it like another small time jump.
I don't know yet either. I just want to see everybody on Dragonback and Rhaenyra's just saying, giddy up.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Let's close it out. And of course, as we are wont to do, Mary, here on Mary and Blake Media, we have a tradition. It's one that we play on every penultimate episode. And we always close out every penultimate episode of every season to this one song. And during that, we have a question that we must answer, and that is this. It's the final countdown.
Yes, it is.
Sorry. Mary, does this episode give you enough momentum going into the finale?
I mean, if that's not momentum, I don't know what is.
Good point. This is, I think, a pretty good version of what momentum should be. One where it's not overwhelming, one that's not in your face, but it's just enough to say, get me to the next episode right away, right now. I think that's important. All right, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Mary. Go ahead.
I'm just so excited. I was saying, you know, about to say that there is just so much momentum. We cannot wait to talk about the finale with you. Don't forget, when the finale airs, you can head on over to our social media channels, Facebook or Instagram, and leave your thoughts and comments about the episode. Yours may be read. And of course, you can actually head to maryandblake.com and leave your voicemail feedback. 90 seconds, let us know who you are, whether you want to share your GPGs.
Hold on. It's the final countdown. Okay, continue.
Whether it's your GBGs or you just want to share something else, I want to get at least 5 voicemails for the finale.
I suspect.
5 for the finale.
Here's my hot take. We're going to have to do a whole nother episode just for listener feedback. Because we're going to get that much. That's my guess. If we don't, hey, we don't. It's not a big deal. Whatevs. But I'm just saying, I get a sense that we're going to have to do a whole nother one.
Okay. Well,
because so many people are going to have so many opinions.
Or it'll just be long. But you know how it is.
Yeah, whatevs.
In this finale, I hope we find out where Eric number 2 is. I hope we find out where Sir Harold is. I mean, I know where Rhaenys is going.
Yes.
Hawaii or to Dragonstone. I hope we find out where Corlys is. Those are the 4 people. I want to see where they go. Corlys, Harold, Eric number 2, and Rhaenys.
Yeah.
If I get that in the finale, 5.
Does Aegon make it out of the next episode?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I when we were watching this episode, I had a hot take that Aegon was not going to make it out of episode 109. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. But I was close.
Well, he needs to be crowned so that Aemon can be next in line.
Ooh, is that something that happens?
Yes.
Like, is that going to be a thing?
Yes. Maybe he says, hey, why don't you go to the same place that Laenor went to? Mm-hmm. Why don't you go in a little boat? We pretend you're dead. How sad that Aegon has his sons and his children put into those pits. Does he stop doing that?
Oh, goodness. Right?
And he has his own son now.
Right.
So would his son be the next heir, or will it be Aemon? Time will
tell. Well, no, it would have to be Aegon's kid.
But not if he's like 1.
No, he would just have a king consort. He would have someone that a king regent, rather, that would just
But maybe he rule makes a deal his with his brother, and he says, you rule, you be king, I don't want this. He abdicates.
It'll be an interesting conflict to see what happens.
And he goes to Hawaii, too.
But the way that he responds to that crowd, something tells me that he's going to accept this a lot more quicker than we all thought he was going to.
I think Aemond is going to be king next.
Interesting. I like it.
Me too.
I like it. I wonder if Aemond tries to kill Aegon. Like, specifically.
You know what? I think Aemon's going to try to kill Rhaenyra.
Well, yeah. But maybe he doesn't succeed.
Because she would be... Oh, man. There's just too many people. Too many people who could be next in line.
Here's
I don't
a hot
want
take.
Any of it.
Here's a hot take. Aemond tries to kill Aegon. Because he realizes he can't kill Rhaenyra. And what does it matter anyway? Because he is already in control at the Red Keep. So kill the guy. Kill the person that's the head of the whole thing. That's my hot take.
All of it.
All right. Time to go.
My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Jack.